This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, good morning. Good throwback Thursday morning to you. So every day this week since Monday night, we've been following the DeMar Hamlin situation just to get a taste of what is happening with him and watch while he progresses, but also looking at the NFL as to what it's going to do in Week 18. So as of this morning, there is going to be games in Week 18 on Saturday, two of them on Saturday, and then one of them on all of the rest on Sunday. And that means the Buffalo Bills will play the New England Patriots, the Cincinnati Bengals will take on the Baltimore Ravens. But now, as we have predicted, we are shifting a lot of the focus again on the league and what it will do or what it has to do or what it doesn't have to do with the game from Monday night. Should it be canceled? Should they find a way to resume it? Should it be a tie? Should it be just not played, non-contested? What will the NFL do? And we all knew that this conversation was eventually going to happen. It was just time and place, right? Having a conversation about the resumption of that football game on Monday night was very inappropriate. Tuesday, while we're still focusing on the health of DeMar Hamlin, it still didn't feel comfortable that we should have the conversation. But as we talked about yesterday, the business of the NFL does need to move forward. And by moving forward, they are saying, okay, we are going to play games this weekend. But they have yet to make a decision on what the Bills-Bengals outcome should be. Now, there have been people who have said it should be a tie. There are people who have said it should be non-contested. There are even people who have suggested that in some way, shape, or form, you could actually have the Bills and Bengals play on the first weekend of the playoffs and only have the NFC playoffs and the AFC just waits a week and shift it all that way. It's getting too complicated. Look, I think the best result for me personally, the one that I think will probably more likely be played out, is that the game is not played at all, it's not resumed, and the teams do not have it on their record. There's no tie. I don't like the idea of a tie. I don't think that either team earned a tie, and the benefit that comes with the tie, the game didn't get played. But at the same time, neither one of them are going to have a loss or a win that determines playoff seeding. I think I don't like either one of them, but both of them are on the table because I do not like playing this game and shifting all the playoffs that you have to shift in the AFC in order to get it done.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so this is a little bit of a stretch for Throwback Thursday, but we had to do it because there wasn't really any good ones for January 5th, but we found a good one that will happen tomorrow. So on this date in 1994, Nancy Kerrigan's knee was fine. How about that? Can we do that?
Yeah, how about that?
Nancy Kerrigan's knee was as athletic as you can get. Getting ready for the Olympic Games was it Lillehammer in 1994?
Yeah.
Where they went. So that was today. Tomorrow, a totally different thing, as she was at Cobo Arena in Detroit, Michigan, and she got swatted by an unknown assailant. And then the whole Tonya Harding-Nancy Kerrigan scandal captivated the nation. I was just telling Ron, that was one of my first things. Me and Dave Preston, who we have on the show. So a couple of weeks later, when she was working out, they sent us down. Well, they sent him down. I just joined him. And down to Massachusetts, where she was. And then we filmed her. Are they going to what is the latest on Nancy Kerrigan thing? So it was we went down to go do that, and it was a very simple trip down to Massachusetts and back, but it was a big deal because they didn't know she was going to come back, and she had been working through rehab, and she had been skating, and she was like America's darling, right? And she certainly was Massachusetts' darling. That's definitely for sure. But whether they're going to the Olympics, could she make it to the Olympics? And she did. And the figure skating of the 94 Olympic Games became one of the most watched television programs in the history of television. It was had everything. It had every soap opera angle that you could get. Tonya Harding had a broken lace. You know, can I get new laces on my skates? Wah! Yeah, but that happened tomorrow in 1994. But here, a throwback Thursday to the health of Nancy Kerrigan's knee. Why? You know why. Like when she was sitting there and screaming why, don't you think she knew who did it?
I have to.
Like, I think she thought, I know who's behind this. And since then, Tonya Harding's life has been kind of a mess. She got into boxing.
Yeah.
It's weird. There was a documentary on her, and her life was kind
of. And then, of course, I, Tonya,
the movie, yeah, starring Margot Robbie and Allison Janney.
Yeah.
Plays the mom. That was a pretty good movie. So, this Nancy Kerrigan, the attack happens tomorrow, but on this date, the knee was fine. So you can hear a lot of mid-90s music today on the show on our Throwback Thursday. So as I was saying at the top of the hour, no word on what exactly the NFL is going to do with Monday night's game. And I think now is people starting to process that the league is not going to cancel Week 18. I know there were some people on social media who have been saying, look, maybe they should cancel Week 18. Maybe we should just push it back 1 week with the, you know, again, continuing to monitor DeMar Hamlin in the Cincinnati hospital. Coley Harvey did change his suit, so it does look like he does get to go home every now and then to sort of rest up before he's back for another shift outside the hospital. But we are getting some positive signs. They're saying the oxygen level now from 100 to 50. Still in critical condition, as you would expect, as you recover from cardiac arrest. But we're getting some positive news. Hasn't been the positive news that we've been looking for. But it does look like the NFL is just going to continue on with this weekend. So what do you do? I mean, here's the thing. The Baltimore Ravens are going to play Cincinnati. The Ravens still have a chance at winning the AFC North had that game played out and Cincinnati had lost. Buffalo and Kansas City are still vying for the number one overall seed. There is some seeding that is still being affected by this. Is it fair to give both teams a tie? Is it fair to call it off and have both of those teams play 16 games? I know the one scenario that has gotten a little momentum, but not a ton, which is you go into the playoffs, and the first weekend of the playoffs, you do the NFC wild card games. And that's it. That's all set. This game doesn't affect it. But then the other game that weekend is Bills-Bengals, and that will set you up, and the AFC wildcard games can happen the next weekend. And I guess the AFC would then go one more week, and then the NFC gets 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. I guess that's basically how they kind of sorted that one out. But I think here's the thing. We've been saying this kind of all week. I think if you were to have a meeting with all 32 teams, and you don't even need all 32 teams, but just to have everybody's consensus on this, to say to the Rams, for example, hey, this doesn't affect you, but you're part of the group. Come on in and bring in your voice. Seahawks, Lions, Packers, you guys have all your own playoff fights. You have nothing to do with this, but we want your input on this because it could happen down the road, and we're wondering what you guys think about this. So you bring everybody together, not just the teams that are affected, and you say, if we call this off and we go winning percentage, would everybody be okay with that? And that includes NFC teams, because you'd want to say to the NFC teams, hey, if this happened in your playoff race, we would do the same thing. So get everybody's consensus on it and see what the temperature of that is. Now, if you're Roger Goodell, you could do that. But Roger Goodell makes a lot of money to make decisions. So Roger Goodell might want to look at everybody in the league and say if that's okay. But he also might say, in the end, I'm the boss. Like, I'm running. This is what I do. I run this thing. And so while I want to talk to players and I want to talk to coaches and I have to talk to owners, given that they've signed my paycheck, in the end, they've hired me to make these tough decisions. Here's my tough decision. But I think there's momentum for the cancellation of this game. I think there's momentum building for the idea that this game doesn't need to be played, that it doesn't need to be played. What do you do? If you award a tie, that's on the table. If you award a tie, okay, but that also puts, you've given something to both teams. You've given a half a game positive to both teams because neither team, neither one of these teams lost the game, right? And that's the key, because yes, there is a possibility that this game could have played into a tie, but ties are pretty rare enough that you would have thought one team would have won and one team would have lost. So to give both of these teams a tie hands them something from this game that was not completed. Not playing the game hands them something as well. Again, if you won't give them a tie, you're not giving one of the teams a loss either. So some way both of these teams are going to benefit by the game not being played, or if you award them a tie. But you know what? In this case, that's kind of just what you're going to have to do. I don't think you're going to play it. I don't think they're going to play it. I don't want to see the weekend, the AFC playoff picture that messed up because of the playing of this game. You don't have to play it. Okay. The report yesterday, Zach Taylor, who's getting his team ready for the Baltimore Ravens, sort of gave some insight into his first meeting with Sean McDermott when they met at midfield. And what he said really was really not heartbreaking, not heartwarming, but it made you really feel the gravity of the moment. When he said that Sean McDermott's first words were, "I've got to be with DeMar. I can't coach this game. I got to be at the hospital with DeMar. I can't coach this game." Zach Taylor brought this up, and that really hit home because it does bring you to the intensity of the moment. The NFL, again, as we've been talking about this week, still stands by. They never said 5-minute and then warm up to resume the game. ESPN is saying, well, somebody told us that. There is probably somewhere in the chain of communication a miscommunication. And I believe both. I sort of believe that the top brass of the NFL probably thought they're not making a decision on this game. Somebody at ESPN is not lying that they were told 5-minute warm-up. Because I think if you're ESPN and you're the production team on the field, I don't think you would make that up. I honestly think you would go, you could say to the national audience, we have no idea what's happening. And that would be a justifiable statement given the circumstances. But somewhere in the middle is where the communication probably got misconstrued. Somebody probably went, well, this is the normal protocol. This, you know, we don't know what this is, so we haven't swayed away from protocol, and they just went with that, right? I mean, it's like in normal situations, this is what we would do if he had a broken leg. So we don't know what this is, so this is probably what we're going to do. And that got, by the time it got like the telephone game, by the time it got to Buck and Aikman, it was 5-minute. Teams have been told 5 minutes and they're going to warm up. Troy Vincent said that didn't happen. So, but, you know, I'll buy it from both sides and I'll just call it a miscommunication. But nevertheless, I don't think the game is going to be resolved or played out. I honestly don't. In honor of the moment, I mean, I would have found it weird if we played this game during playoff weekend, right? Like, just for a quick second, imagine if you're getting ready for the playoffs and it's just the NFC side and this one game that is probably going down as the 2022 season football game, right? Even though it was played in 2023, but the 2022 season, this is going to be the most memorable game of the year. This is the game that we're still talking about on Thursday. How many Monday night games have had the impact that we've carried into Thursday going into the weekend? Even good Monday night games, even really fantastic Monday night games, the ones that you feel like this could be impactful, this was a showdown, this was an amazing comeback, or this was great performances by the quarterbacks. We usually go, yep, but we got to put it in a box and put it away. But the ramifications of what happened on Monday night, all of the things from DeMar Hamlin's health to the unity of the country to everybody discussing, again, what the NFL should do and what they shouldn't do, all of those things that come with this are being talked about again on a Thursday. But I think if you're the NFL and you were going to cancel games this weekend, you would have done it by now. I think that ship has sailed. I think you're going to get the conclusion of this season this weekend. I think there is that right now the teams are in that mode and you're not going to shut it down. Unless there's something, knock on wood, something tragic happens to DeMar Hamlin. And I really hope that's not the case. I really hope that's not the case. But if he takes a turn for the worse, then maybe the NFL comes in a late decision and say, you know what, we're not playing football this weekend. But I hope that's obviously most of us, hope, you know, obviously all of us hope that's not the case. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more in the NFL, the games that do matter coming up this weekend. Also, there is some news in all of the sports that happened. We've got baseball news. College basketball had a whale of a game last night. There's also some news about the possibility of the tournament expanding. You've got NBA news as well. We got a lot to get to, so we're going to get to all of it when we come back. So again, a throwback Thursday. We're going back to 1994, the health of Nancy Kerrigan's knee. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Party people!
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All you folks, what it's all about. Now it's time for to get on the mic and make this mother party hot. I'm taking it back. Hey, good for the Chargers, right? Where they get the benefit. I guess the Chargers playing at four are not getting put in a bad position. It's only a net positive for them.
Yes.
For example, the Sunday night game. I know the NFL doesn't care, and I know we both agree that the Lions will play like it is the Super Bowl, no matter what happens, but the Seahawks are actively being put in a bad spot by eliminating the team that they need to win on Sunday night. They are being put in a bad spot. The Chargers and Ravens at least aren't, but it's a great point by you, massively shifting those odds now that see the Chargers as a 2.5-point dog to the Denver Broncos. We'll talk more about Lamar and the Ravens. We're going to do a Super Bowl reset for you in hour number two. There are some very real questions around Lamar and when he will or won't be back. I want to get to another big line move, though, which involves Justin Fields being out against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are a 7.5-point favorite now in this game. This conversation goes two directions here, but I think the first one is, why in the world would the Minnesota Vikings, Donnie, be playing starters? I mean, honestly, why in the world are the Vikings going out there and pushing for the 2 seed when they need the Niners to lose, who are a 14-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals? And by the way, you're better off probably as the 3 seed and playing the New York Giants instead of the piping hot Green Bay Packers who just embarrassed you.
And also getting your bye week. It's so the way that we set up these week 18 games is oh man, the number one bye, we talk about, right? The number one seed gets the bye. What an advantage. These teams can take their own byes in week 18. Now, granted, again, it's not a true bye because you do have to play some of your players, but it would be nice to have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, TJ Hockenson, Kirk Cousins, and Dalvin Cook not take a single snap in this game. So they're fully healthy and legs will be there for the playoff run. I don't know why you would play because I hear this notion too, right? You saw the offense doesn't have any issues in Minnesota. It's the defense. Oh, you know, you got to get that taste out of your mouth for getting blood. For what? For what? You go out and beat the Chicago Bears and the vibes are party-like and Kirk Cousins has his shirt off on the plane ride home and you're like, hey, man, let's put on all the change. No. It's all business from here at this point. I understand if you want to say to yourself, hey, look, I got to keep these guys sharp and focused, which a lot of teams do. And you even take a look at the New York Giants. We'll make the decision later in the week. Because you know what that means? You guys got to come to work, put your film study in.
Call at Sports Map Radio. Sorry about the technical glitch that we just had in our studio. But nevertheless, we are back. All right, so it is a throwback Thursday today. We are talking about 1994. It didn't happen on this date, but Nancy Kerrigan got hit with the pipe. And the 1994 Olympics in Lillehammer became more about Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan than probably anything that went on. But we also got some news around around sports. And coming up in about 8 minutes, we're going to talk about what's going on in U.S. soccer. You're going to have to help me navigate this story because it's got a soap opera angle to it as well. We talked about this in what, the good, the bad, and the dumb yesterday? That was...
Yeah. Yeah. No, at that point, it was just blackmail.
It was just blackmail. We didn't know.
Unknown person.
Right. An unknown person who had information on Greg Berhalter and his past was like, I'm going to blackmail you. And at the time, I thought it was for money or whatever it was. But now it's got a whole other angle to it. So we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. But we've been talking about the NFL. And, of course, the NFL's got this big weekend coming up where the playoff implications are on the line. Patriots are looking to secure a playoff spot. The Steelers are trying to get into this thing. The Dolphins are trying to get into this thing. If you go to the NFC, you've got a huge game Sunday night that may not be huge because the Lions need the Seahawks to lose in order for that game to matter. They'll still give the Packers a run for their money, even if they're eliminated by Sunday night. But they will know before they hit that field whether what they're playing for is a playoff spot or not. But for the Packers, it's always going to be a playoff spot. They win, they're in, so they don't need help or anything from anybody. But we're also going to see some teams going to different quarterbacks. It is now Sam Howell's job, the former North Carolina quarterback. He's going to be starting for Washington, which is absolutely crazy. The idea that you can go from Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, right, suffers an injury, a finger injury. Taylor Heineke gets the team rolling a bit. He struggles just enough with some turnovers that they decide in a very critical game that they'll go back to Carson Wentz. They lose that game, and now they're down to let's see what Sam Howell has. That's how quick your fortunes can change in this league. That's how crazy it can go. And the quarterback change, I don't know if Taylor Heineke wins that game or not. I have no idea. But that's how fast the Washington Commanders went from trying to secure a playoff spot in the list. Like, they had the spot and then lost that spot and are now down to, let's just see what the rookie has as terms of a quarterback. I guess there's reports Nathan Peterman is going to start this weekend for the Bears in their season finale.
Thank God.
He's still in the league. Still in the league. It's one of the most statistically terrible quarterbacks you will find. This is one of those things where people say, like, you better be connected in life. Like, right, people say, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's got to be that way with Nathan Peterman, right? It has to be.
I was just surprised to learn that Luke Falk wasn't available.
Right. That's what I was thinking. This guy must, every place he lands, he must be, coaches just sit in the room and go, you know who's a good dude? Nathan Peterman. And they go, yeah, he is. That guy is a good dude. He works hard. He always shows up, got a smile on his face. The staff likes him. He's nice to the secretary. He is such a good guy. Let's keep him around. Okay, I agree. Let's keep him around. He finds a way to stay on rosters. Not rosters in terms of, like, he just bounces around teams, but he always seems to land somewhere. This guy's career should have been over ages ago. Nope. Still finds. Remember, John Gruden liked him when John Gruden was with the Raiders. Liked Nathan Peterman.
That's right.
So remember that?
About him.
I think it was from Hard Knocks, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Whatever. John Gruden liked Nathan Peterman.
So I guess, you know what? Your theory might be right. He just might be a good dude, a good guy to have in the locker room.
Yeah, he's just like the coaches just like him, and they just go, you know what? We need a backup quarterback, and then, you know, why not keep him kicking around? That's the way I can process it. It's the only way I got. All right, so coming up, we're going to talk about this U.S. soccer story because, man, it got really interesting yesterday from a simple blackmail story to a breaking down a friendship, a family dynamic, an investigation that should never take place. There's so many elements to this thing, and it does put U.S. soccer in an unappealing light right now. It's a story I'm sure they wish they didn't have to talk about, but they're going to have to talk about it. We'll talk about that coming up next as we continue this Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up
D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1994, Nancy Kerrigan's knee was good. Tomorrow, the anniversary of it not being good. Blind Melon. Wasn't this the B video?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, right, yeah. She was pretty popular, that B, the girl who played the B. I remember like MTV had her out in a music awards or something. Yeah, the B video. Nevertheless, let's get to this soccer story, this U.S. soccer story. So we brought it up yesterday, blackmail situation on head coach Greg Berhalter on
but
an
at that
incident.
Time, we didn't know who.
Didn't know who. It was a 1991 incident of he kicked his wife in an argument, but he was dating her at the time. Wasn't his wife. He was dating her. They went on to have a 25-plus year marriage, four children. He resolved it then. Everyone in the family, her family, his family, he got help for it. And that was part of the story. But now we're finding out there's another angle to this. And that Danielle Reyna, the wife of Claudio Reyna and the mother of Gio Reyna.
Very good.
Was the one.
You sound like you know all the soccer.
I do. She was the one that brought it to the attention of U.S. soccer because she didn't like the way her son was talked about. At the World Cup this year.
Right.
Is that it? Give me the details.
I mean, basically, it's that in a nutshell. They're both the Reynas are upset with their son's playing time.
Oh, no. It's one of those things?
It's one of those things as well.
Uh-oh.
So you got soccer
nothing worse
mom.
Than parent with playing time.
So they were upset with their son's playing time, and then the reasoning behind it was that Gio Reyna was basically he wasn't a good teammate during training.
Right,
I'm putting it
right.
mildly.
Right.
And so that was part of the punishment that Greg Berhalter put down was that, you know, and now it comes to light, like we kind of understand why, because it's probably, Gio probably looks at him and is like, oh, that's Uncle Greg. Because these families have grown up together.
Yeah, they're like Claudio and him were
so he probably
college
felt,
players, right?
They yeah, were, well, the both the moms, Mrs. Berhalter, I don't know her name, and Danielle Reyna were college roommates. They played soccer together. And it was the fact that Claudio and Greg, I mean, you take the story even further, they grew up playing together. When I say
in New Jersey,
up, yeah,
right?
they played on the same teams like and went to the same high school and then went to college. They literally have known each other all their lives.
Was Greg Berhalter supposed to have a parents-only meeting where he said, don't ever talk to me about your kids' playing time? Is that
I think they need
that?
Maybe.
Like I'll listen to anything that you have to say, but I won't discuss playing time.
So
like, did he have to have that conversation?
According to Danielle, what she did was she was upset with they're both upset with their son's playing time, but they were also upset with the way that Greg Berhalter said, hey, you know what, it was kind of Gio's fault for the way he acted.
Yeah, I can see that, right.
And then she didn't like the way social media was raking Gio's name through the mud, but what she doesn't realize is that anyone who was doing that, they're just Twitter trolls.
That's right. Social media is not a fair place. It's
right.
A pretty awful place. It's
but
a place where anonymous people say what's on their mind because they don't have the courage to say it to your face.
Exactly. And yeah. But she, you know, went all motherly and was like, oh, you know, I can't stand this. And so she went to another good friend, Ernie Stewart.
Okay.
Ernie Stewart is the, he's the president of the U.S. Federation or, you know, something like that. But he is also a former teammate of Claudio Reyna and Greg Berhalter. They all played on the U.S. men's national team together. So she went to him, what she said was in confidence. And said, you know, I don't know, and basically laid it out like, I don't know why Greg is holding Gio to the standard when he has his own checkered past. And then proceeded to go into the checkered past.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, let's break that down a little bit here. So what she was saying is this, is that here's Gio Reyna, who's 18, 19 years old,
yeah,
right? Teenager, upper
like
teenager.
That.
So he's like 20. He's around 18, 19, 20 years old. He's not 25. He's not a mid 20 veteran. He's a young kid. So what she was saying was, my son is supposed to act any differently at 18, 19 than the head coach who kicked his wife in the leg when they were dating and when he was in college?
Yeah.
Is that so she didn't say, I've got some information. And if you don't get me what I want, I will. She didn't do blackmail
in the standard blackmail.
Right.
Like, give me $1 billion or I'll destroy the
world.
Yeah, it's not. Like, not that.
I guess.
She wasn't looking for a nuclear bomb to go off. She was like, she just brought it up in conversation.
I guess the blackmail term was being thrown out there by U.S. Soccer and Greg Berhalter until the story came out a little bit more that it wasn't really a blackmail situation. It was more of, you know, hey, he is not as innocent as you
think he
is.
So then Ernie Stewart's like, shoot, you just gave me information. I have to do something with this.
Right.
I can't not do something.
But
with
at the same time, I mean, I struggle with that he has to do something that happened 31 years ago that literally is a private matter between the two.
Yes, but
enlighten me. I've been struggling with that.
Okay, I don't know where, you have to tell me, is Ernie Stewart a guy that can make a decision on Berhalter's?
Oh, because
I'm wondering if
he's I think he's probably part of a group that can't.
Right. I just think if you are Ernie Stewart, you say, look, I got to give this to somebody. I got to tell somebody this because I'm not going to be the one if this, because like, okay. So if Ernie Stewart knew what happened in 1991, then maybe he makes a better decision on this. But if you are in a position where you're working for an organization and you get word of an incident like that, you got to give it to somebody because you don't know what it is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like we were sitting here saying, oh, he's resolved it. But maybe at the time, Ernie Stewart didn't know any of that. Maybe he thought there was a hidden police report. Maybe it was work. He didn't know the gravity of it. And then he's got to give it to his superiors to say, look, I don't know what this is, but I'm not going to be the one holding this secret. Like, you're not going to come back to me and find out I held this the whole time. So I'm giving it to you. You do whatever you want with it. And then they made the decision to look into it. I can see him doing that as a little self-protection. Because if let's say it wasn't a kick, it was an outright pummel, right? Or whatever it was, you got Ernie Stewart involved in it. Now he's like, I'm covering this up. I didn't mean to cover this up. I just heard it, but I got to do something with it. That's the only way I could process.
No, that makes sense to me that he's literally covering his own.
Like just saying,
rear.
Hey, look, if this thing becomes a big deal, Ernie Stewart didn't cover this up.
Yeah.
He's not part of the process. I'm out of this.
So
I handed this off to the right people. Now we could still say whether or not there needed to be a deep investigation into this because we did yesterday. And I think that there is, I still think that we need as a society to start figuring out what we want to do with this kind of stuff because our best and brightest are going to hide. And then we don't want our best and brightest to hide.
Right.
We want our best and brightest to come out and do things for the good of society. If they're constantly hiding because at 18 years old, they got drunk and did something stupid. If they're never going to come out of the woodwork because they just don't want to deal with the unruling cancel mob, then we've got a problem. We've got a real problem because what's going to happen is the people who are going to lead us are the people that are going to be able to manipulate the system the best and be able to scrub their past better. And that's when you run into a lot of trouble. So, and we're talking politics or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It talks in any field.
Business, CEOs,
anything.
I mean,
if the people that are running and making the decisions for us are the ones that did the best job of covering up their past, hiding their past, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have somebody say I learned from it. Like Greg Berhalter. I got help at the time. I dealt with it with her family. I dealt with it with her. We've had a great marriage, 25 years. We've had kids together. We both have moved on past this in a way that I'm embarrassed of and go from there. But if you're 18 and 19 and we are training you to do, if you do something stupid, which we all did, some less severe than others, and the best way to handle it is not to come out and be front about it and say, I gotta learn from this mistake. If your first instinct is to, how do I cover this up? How do I internet scrub? How do I hide this? Boy, we're in deep, deep doo-doo. But nevertheless, this is a scandal now because...
it's a scandal.
This is a scandal.
And you know, the U.S. Men's team has two friendlies coming up this month. I think Colombia and Serbia, I believe. And Greg Berhalter is not a part of those. The assistant coach has been promoted to head coach for the interim head coach for the time being.
I gotcha.
So but the other we're thing already too, seeing the repercussions of this.
Was Berhalter correct in kind of explaining in a little more detail at the World Cup on Gio Reyna and his immaturity and whatnot? Or should he have just said, that's between me and him, and that's it? Or did he owe the world press an explanation?
I think it was the pressure that kept coming, because I mean Gio Reyna. I mean, listen, he is one of the bright stars. He is a playmaker, and it was odd for some of those games that we had. It's like, why aren't you inserting Gio Reyna, especially that first one?
Right,
that first game when we tied Wales, when Gio would have made a good impact. He's a guy who he doesn't score a lot of goals, but he sets them all up. And he has that creativity, plays much like his father did. I mean, his father was known as Captain America. And his father, you know, didn't score a lot of goals, but his father was, you know, the cog in the central midfield. And first player to really play over in Europe. Like first, you know, non-goalkeeper to play over in Europe. And so you did wonder. I mean, and if you're impressed, yeah, you got to ask, why isn't Gio playing? I mean, he's one of your bright up-and-coming stars. It would be... You know, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, it would be, like, if all of a sudden, like, the Buffalo Bills decided not to play Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, sure. You would go, look, if Sean McDermott said, well, that's between me and Stephon Diggs, the press isn't going to go, oh, okay, that's great, that's a good answer, thank you. No, they'd go, well, we're going to find out
in other avenues.
We're going to dig a little bit more. So if you don't mind, we're going to start asking some other people around Stephon Diggs. Or, you know, like if that was the case, if that example was the case. So if you're Berhalter, you've got to say, okay, look, how do I diffuse, as I'm trying to navigate this World Cup, how do I diffuse this situation so that my players aren't asked about this, because the press isn't going to let go, right? They're going to be asking everybody on my team about this. They're going to start calling, making phone calls around, you know, other people. Do I diffuse it now, or do I make it secret and then this hangs over the?
And to his credit, when he did come out and say he diffused it, he didn't name Gio Reyna at first.
Right. That's a good point. He just said,
you know, there was a player that we had, but everyone kind of put the pieces together. It's like, oh, you didn't play a player that, you know, you would have played probably. Oh, that must have been Gio. And then, you know, all the puzzle pieces kind of fit in, and then it just came out. It's like, yeah, he's talking about Gio.
So, I mean...
And it is a situation where Gio probably showed up to training camp going, ah, it's Uncle Greg over there coaching me. We're fine.
I
grew up with him in the house.
Yeah. Cool. Can you imagine that feeling? Oh.
Like the two families now. I mean...
Yeah, it's got to be done, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're friends. Wives are friends. Like, now it's not.
I mean, it's such
now
a...
Now it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. Like, But so would we believe that Danielle Reyna didn't say, like, I want him fired. She had intent of saying this, but
she had intent in saying it because she thought she was having a conversation with her old friend, Ernie Stewart, who happens to be in charge of everything. And she thought this conversation was in confidence.
Okay. Yeah, but still, you put him in a weird position.
Right. She didn't think it all the way through.
It's one of the reasons why, look, it's like managers don't socialize with employees. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't an employee, don't get me wrong. But it's because, like, if you go out drinking with your boss, right, and your boss is like, yeah, let's go out for drinks. And then you're like, Susie, she's always like... You know, she's using the office equipment for a personal business that she does on the side. Then the boss goes, oh, shoot, now I gotta handle that.
Yeah, like, I can't just ignore it.
I just can't ignore that. This is why I don't drink with employees that got big mouths. Danielle Reyna is not an employee, but she, I don't know, if she should have been aware in some capacity that who she was telling was going to have to take it to somebody.
Right.
That Ernie Stewart wasn't going to go, shoot, now what are you going to do with that? Because we live in a world where you got to be like, yeah, even 30 years ago, we got to look into it. Right, that's man. What a wild story, man. What a wild
story. It really
story.
Is really, really bizarre. It came story. Out of nowhere, fella.
Absolutely.
Like.
All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. I'm sure we're not gonna hear the last of this one. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A little 1994 on a throwback Thursday. On this date, Nancy Kerrigan thought she was going to be very healthy going into the Olympics, but then tomorrow is the anniversary of her getting hit in the knee. This is a little Meatloaf. Meatloaf had two albums, Bad Outta Hell and Bad Outta Hell 2, that were separated by like 15 years, weren't they? Wasn't Bad Outta Hell in the 70s, and then he had Bad Outta Hell 2 that came out in the 90s with a couple of these songs, so... nevertheless, that's our Throwback Thursday today. We had a couple more, like on this date in the 90s, built like Don Shula retired.
Yeah.
Well, no, 2000s, right? When did Don Shula?
Don Shula retired, I think it was like 95, 96.
And then Bill Cowher retired.
2007.
2007. So it was on the same date that those two coaches retired. Coming up, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've also going to talk a little bit more about the NFL. This coming up this weekend with the games that matter. Also, some baseball. Big signing in Boston, and it was big for one particular reason, one major reason. We'll get to that as well. It's Wake Up Call. Glad you can be with us on Sports Map Radio.